My title will be Influence of Woolly Croton Soaking on Cotton Flea Hopper Emergence from Overwinter Eggs. Do we need to use this?
Yeah, I think arrow should work. Yeah.
Okay. So a little bit introduction. Flea hoppers are very small insects. They are piercing, sucking mouth parts. They have piercing, sucking mouth parts, and they feed on several weeds and they also crops. And they overwinter in their host. Emergence is activated by temperature as well as the moisture. And in early spring, they have different type of host. And in the late spring or in the fall, they have different hosts. Flea hoppers are injurious to small pinhead or squares at the early cotton development. This slide shows flea hopper infestation in Texas as well as in cotton belt. It shows actually the reduction in yield. Although in 1999 there was a very peak, and when we compare Texas with cotton belt, it appears that Texas has more infestation as compared to the other regions. And like I earlier said, that it has a lot of spring as well as summer and fall hosts. So when I got AgriLife in June, and Dr. Parajuli asked me to start a project, and that was actually rearing some of the flea hopper to release on cotton. And I had no idea. I just came from Smokies and just end up in Lubbock, and I didn't know that how to start. And when we talked, and Dr. Berman, he helped us to just go through. Then, because there were just a month or less than a month period where we were used to, we were supposed to release hundreds of flea hoppers. So we tried, didn't work. We couldn't rear a lot of flea hoppers. So then that leads us to make small studies. That was the effect of soaking duration on emergence of flea hopper nymphs from overwinter eggs. So croton was collected from College Station in 2012, and it is stored in a walk-in cooler at cooler temperature, and we use 110 grams croton, and we cut into maybe 7 inch in length, and put in cans. And these cans, the both ends are open, and there are two types of fabrics. One is coarse, and one is like fine mesh, and they contain croton as well as flea hoppers. So we maintain temperature, we recorded between 25 to 35 because we reared these flea hoppers in a room on regular temperature, and we recorded, and it was just minimum was 25 to 35, but we regulated the duration of light. So to avoid, to contain these small flea hoppers, we use that very fine mesh. And when we start, after a week after we start soaking, we start shaking these the cans. What we did is initially when I shook sometime I got maybe more than 100, and it is not easy to count all those small insects, and they are running around. So that is why what I did is I just shook on a poster board 3 times, then counted, then dumped into a container, then 3 times. So by doing that, all together we shook 12 times. So then we counted how many emerged. And those emerged flea hoppers were transferred into a container, and we used green beans as their food. So we use some of the treatments. These are 5 treatments, and Dr. Parajuli suggested some of the treatments, and I added one, and then we revised a little bit. Then So our initial, the first treatment was like in soaking those crotons for 24 hours. And the second treatment was 2 hours first day, then spread daily. We just spread using a handheld sprayer. And the third treatment was 2 hours soaking first day, then 30 minutes soaking for next 7 days, then spread until the until maybe say around 27, 28 days. Then our T4 was 2 hours soaking first day, then 30 minutes for next 7 days, then dipped onward. So between T3 and a T4, the only difference is in one we did dipped and in other we just sprayed. So the T5 was based on Brint 1989, so he used like 15 minutes alternate day dipping. So we use the other treatments because Lubbock is dry as compared to College Station. The last paper was Brint et al. 1989 was done in College Station, and that is a humid area. So that is why we want to compare that what is the effect of moisture on emergence of flea hoppers. So this was the setup where we use these cans, and we soak these cans in a big drum, and then after that we left outside to drain. Then the T5 we kept outside to make it dry, but the other ones we didn't. So this is the temperature we recorded during that period, and the peak was 36, and the lowest was 24. But usually the maximum temperature was between 25 to 35 or 36. So in nature, flea hoppers, they lay eggs on croton, and in fall, those overwinter eggs, the eggs remain in the field, and in the spring when it warms up, and also when it rains, then it activates, then teeny tiny flea hoppers emerge. So we did the same thing in a lab setting. So here is our results. So our two treatments where we like 2 hours first day soaking, 30 minutes for 7 days, and dipping, as well as 2 hours soaking first day, 30 minutes for 7 days, and spraying onwards had no significant difference, and both of them were highly significant as compared to others. And the highest numbers we got were from the dipping as compared to spraying. And the blue bar, which shows where we just soaked for 24 hours, so it means it didn't get enough moisture to activate all those eggs. And the study which was based on 1989, Brenny and 1989, that was 15 minutes alternate day, that was in second in line. So it shows that when you have high moisture, maybe you need to soak a little less as compared to if you have less moisture, then you need to increase the moisture. So in this graph, it shows the on x-axis shows the number of days, and on y-axis flea hopper recorded per treatment. So we started this experiment on 19th July, I believe, and then for first 5 days, we didn't get any flea hoppers. But on sixth day, it started, and then it peaked on day 12th. So then gradually it declined. It went until 26, then until 32 days, but it was the, maybe we can say these are the outliers. So in summary, a flea hopper emergence started 6 days after soaking. This is important because if we need flea hoppers in 15 days, then we can plan accordingly, but it depends upon the temperature. Like we have another, Dr. Parajuli has another student. She tried last time, but she didn't put the temperature right way. I guess it was around 20, 22. So it took her 14 days to start emergence, but the numbers were very low. So it means if temperature is high enough, if it is too high, then that will cook. If it is like high enough, then maybe we can get right numbers in our right time. Almost 6,344 flea hopper nymphs were emerged from 2.2 kg or maybe around 5 pounds croton. And the highest one day emergence was occurred on 12th day. So if we plan accordingly, then we can recover a lot. And that was from deeping, where we soaked croton for 2 hours first day, 30 minutes for next 7 days, then deeping onwards. So that gave us the highest number of flea hoppers. So significantly higher numbers of nymphs emerged when croton was soaked for 2 hours. Both like spread or dipping had the same results. So least number was number of thrips. Flea hoppers were emerged from croton when we soak for 24 hours. So take home messages to maximize the flea hopper emergence from overwinter croton. Croton should be soaked for at least 7 days, and may need to keep it moist throughout the emergence period. So with that, I'll take questions if you have.
So we've got a couple of minutes for questions. That's great.
So first I have to apologize. I came in a couple minutes late, right when you were talking about your methods. So when, and you probably already said this, when did you collect the woolly croton in the field, and how had it been, how long had it, and under what conditions had it been preserved before you started your soaking?
Okay, so we, our lay fellows, they collected in winter 2012, and then it is still stored in a walk-in cooler under 4 degrees. So still it is.
Yeah, he doesn't know that part because he came in June, but we should collect no later than late January. Or maybe we have gone over the years until mid-February, but you need to collect and then put them in the cooler right away. But then it can stay for a couple of years. Actually, more you store, the better synchronization of emergence occurs.
That's what I was going to ask. What if you collected just in January and started heating and soaking? Would you get any substantial emergence at that time?
I do not know substantial, but you do get, but it's extended emergence, not very synchronized.
Yes, sir.
What's like the, I guess, the super fluid point for these eggs? I mean, is this cold snap we've had going to be enough to basically disrupt their eyeballs as the next week? Or does it take, I guess, extreme cold? I guess minus -90 or something like similar to that.
I'll try to answer that question. We do not know the answer of that particular question, but I think we always had a collector from College Station area, and Greg, you know that. That's not very cold area, so we really don't know if it is really cold, what would be the overwintering situation and emergence. I don't think we have that answer. Anybody else maybe in the group?
I'm betting on the insects.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.